If you have your Bibles, please open your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 18. We have been going through the life of David, and as I've studied throughout the week and have been studying, the life of David, read 1 and 2 Samuel so many times, the Lord directed me back to 1 Samuel chapter 18, and I'm going to pick up a truth that we've already taught, but I want to spread it out through chapter 20. I'd like for you to look in chapter 18, verses 1 through 4, and we've read it, but I want to read it again. One principle in teaching is necessary, and that is repetition, repetition, repetition. Well, you'll learn if you are repetitive and go over and over and over. Like this morning when I taught you the philosophy, where we'll go over and over and over that, you will know what we believe. Philosophy is a system of belief that governs your behavior. That's why you do what you do. That's what is important to you, and is it important to the Lord. So a system of philosophy. So I'm going to repeat. All right. And it came to pass, when he had made an end of speaking to Saul, this is David after defeating Goliath, that the son of Jonathan was knit, put a circle around it, with the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. Put an underline it. He loved him as his own soul. And Saul took him that day and would not let him go no more home to his father's house. Then Jonathan and David made a covenant. Now they made an agreement. They made a covenant between themselves. And to the Jews, covenants were binding. They were like deeds or wills. They were even stronger than that. They were great covenant people. Because he loved him as his own soul. Underline that. He loved him as his own soul. Been repeated twice. He loved him as his own soul. And what did he do? And Jonathan stripped himself of his robe. And here's the king's son. Here's the next who is in line to the throne of Saul. He took off his royal garments. He stripped himself of the robe and was put on him and gave it to David. And his garments, even his sword, David didn't have a sword, remember, when he went to attack Goliath. And it took his sword and his bow and his girdle and gave it all to David. Now, in the Old Testament, Christ is concealed. In the New Testament, Christ is revealed. All the shadows and the types in the Old Testament point to Christ in the New Testament. All of the blood sacrifices in the Old Testament point to the blood sacrifice in the New Testament. In the Old Testament, the fire consumed the sacrifice. In the New Testament, the sacrifice consumed the fire. In other words, Jesus Christ paid the sin debt. Therefore, I can go free because my fire, my eternal retribution, my hell has been paid for, and the sacrifice was consumed by God's judgment upon the cross. God judging his own son. So in the Old Testament, Christ is concealed. And this is the background. But let me show you the background. Christ is pictured as David. And, of course, we went through that in 1 Samuel chapter 18. Jonathan and David's heart was knit together. That word "not" or "knit" means an indissolvable bond and cannot be pulled apart. Now, I got news for you. I tied the knot yesterday. Our youth pastor got married. And if their vow, their covenant, means anything, it is until death do they part. I tied that knot, that agreement, those vows that they made. But this is a stronger word. It means an indissolvable bond that cannot even be broken by death. So the covenant was a covenant of love. What motivated Jonathan to do this? He saw what David had done by slaying Goliath, by defeating Goliath, and by winning back the territory that belonged to Judah, the city of refuge, And the city of rest in the and that Ephendamon means the border of blood, and that's where it was fought. The greatest war that was ever fought was not in Iwo Jima or the beachheads of Normandy. It was fought on Calvary. And Jesus Christ, and the picture of all that is through the Old Testament. Folks, this is God's revelation of himself. 33 books in the Old Testament, 27 in the New Testament, 1,548 pages in my Bible. And you can get the revelation of God by reading this. And the history of Israel is simply the history of God's revelation to his people. So, here we see a covenant that was made by these two men. David, the picture of Christ, killed Goliath, who's a picture of the Antichrist. And Satan won, and that won the heart of Jonathan. He was watching. Just as I greet David, the object of our love. And do you love him this morning? Do you really love him? A.T. Pearson, one of the greatest scholars that has ever been produced, knew the foreign languages and 40-some different foreign languages, had his devotions in the Hebrew and the Greek, and knew all these languages. Taught his scholars, spent 15 years in learning the language, 15 years in studying, and 15 years in writing it. And he was an expert in the languages. We may not agree with all of his eschatology and theology and so forth, but one of his students asked him, this great genius of the word and the great intellectual scholar that he was, asked him one question. What is the greatest truth that has ever been revealed to you as you study the Bible? With tears streaming down the old man's cheeks, he said, the greatest truth that has ever been revealed to me is Jesus loves me, this I know, because the Bible tells me so. This is a love covenant. This is a covenant of love. This is why you come to church. This is why you read your Bible. This is why you pay the tithe. This is why you witness to others, is because you love the Lord Jesus. You prove your love, the Bible says, by the sincerity of your giving. That's not necessarily talking about money. It's talking about your life. Your life is a poured out sacrifice. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. You pour your life into the life of others. I've been doing it for almost 40 years. My brother says, why don't you retire? I said, retire? You got to be kidding, man. I'm going to retire. I said, I'm going to retire. Listen, I'm having the time of my life. This is the greatest time of my life, the greatest time of my ministry. So this love covenant, if you look, they love David. And look in verse 16. And it loves Israel. And it says down in verse 16, but all Israel and Judah loved David because he went out. They loved him. There is the appearing love appearing. Look in verse 22. Turn over in verse 22. And it says, it's the last part of that verse, and all his servants love thee. Hey, wait a minute. These are Saul's servants loving David. That is, all of his servants love David. That's love admiring. Then look in verse 20, and it tells us, and in verse 20, that Michael loves David, and she loved him. And boy, that pleased Saul, because Saul thought, I will get to kill him now. He'd become a son-in-law, and he was set and ready for it. And then Jonathan loved him with abounding love in verse 3. He said, I love him as my own soul. So this love covenant speaks of a total surrender one to the other. And it is no sacrifice to give love. It is a pleasure. Love is a present. Hey, listen, if you do what you do out of any other motive, it's wood, hay, and stubble. Forget it. If you do not love me, Jesus says, if you love me, you what? Keep my commandments. See, love is in action. Watch now. What did Jonathan do in verse 18? Look at this for just a moment. This love speaks of total surrender. It is saying, what you are, I am. what I am. I'm the king's son. I'm going to give my garments to you as a shepherd lad. He gave his old stinky, smelly cloak to the king, and they had a covenant of exchange. I become what you are. You become what I am. Isn't that what God did for us on the cross? He who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. He clothed us in his righteousness, and he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And he took our place as a sinner on the cross. So all through the Word of God, we see Christ. I simply wanted you to see his love. Notice the royal garment. What does that speak of? That speaks of his right to the throne. His royal robe, I mean. His garment speaks of his glory. He never laid aside his deity. Remember in John, you remember over in John chapter, John chapter 9, whenever we talked about he laying aside of his garments and going down and washing the feet, he never laid aside his deity. He laid attributes voluntarily. His garment speaks of his glory. His sword speaks of his power. His bow speaks of his strength. His girdle, what does that speak of? It speaks of his riches, his resources. People carried all their important wealth, the jewelry, their precious stones, their deeds, their papers in their inner garment. So, what a covenant of exchange is. I become what you are, you become what I am. David gave his old smelly, dirty shepherd cloak covered with the dirt and the smell of sheep dung and the smell of sweat, all tattered and torn, for this blessed privilege of being a king's son, our rags for riches, all that God might take my place in order that I might take his place and become the king's son. And he's joint heirs with everything that God has. Folks, let that peace get a hold of you. You know, that's why you keep, you serve him, because you love him. Now, the success of David in David had turned Saul into bitterness, jealousy, envy, anger, and murder. And Saul wanted to kill him. Saul killed him, and the grim saying, all Saul slain his 1,000, and David is slain his 10,000. Pride entered in, jealousy and malice. So throughout the life of David, Saul plots to kill him. And the plot continues, and it thickens, one plot after another in chapter 19. And he tries to get his own son. Look at chapter 19, verse 1. In chapter 19, verse 1, and Saul spoke to Jonathan, his son, and to all of his servants, and said, what? That they should kill David. Now, it all comes because of jealousy. It all comes because of a bitter spirit. It all comes because this began to manifest and grow, and to where he even tried to get his son to kill David in chapter 19, verse 1. So, now let's go back to chapter 18 with this one. Do you love him because of what he has done for you? While David was in the valley of blood fighting the giant of the Antichrist, big monsters that he was facing, I thought, dear God, help us to be willing to know that we have victory over the giants of the 21st century through our King David. Now, let's look at this covenant, and I'm going to spread it out through the 20 chapters here in about 15 minutes. Hang with me. Now, look at it. The commencement of the love. David's accomplishment. What caused him to love David so? It was his accomplishment. In verse 18, verse 1, David's accomplishment. He defeated Goliath in chapter 17, and Jonathan's action. Whenever he saw what David had done and realized that he had won back the city of refuge, the city of peace, the territory that was in the hands of Judah, out of which the shadow, the Messiah would come, and it's back in God's hands in the valley of blood. And it dawned on Jonathan, my, look what a victory he has won for us. His heart was stirred, and he loved him. Can you look at Calvin and see what he has done for you, and if your heart stirred? Do you love him? Jonathan Jackson said, that's somebody that I want to be like. For I want to be like him. And when he saw that great victory that had been accomplished. So the commencement of this love is because of the victory that won over Satan and at Calvary. Jonathan's soul was knit with David, and literally they were made out of the same fabric that emphasizes the indissoluble tie. Secondly, not only did he see the commencement of why Jonathan loved him, but because of our Calvary, our great love, because of what our great David had done, he breathed a certain. But notice the covenant of love in verse 3. You become what I am, I become what you are. This is what the covenant said. This covenant cannot be broken by death. It's a relationship that causes us to be one forever. In that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. In Philippians 2, he says, he laid aside his royal garments and became sin, even obedient unto the death of the cross. Oh, what love. Oh, what love. Oh, the love that drew salvation's plan. Oh, the grace of God that brought it down to man. I do not serve him because of my love for him. I serve him because of his love for me. If it ever dawns on you what he has done for you, there's no sacrifice too great for you. One of the great missionaries, C.C. Studd, said this. He made this statement, and he said, if Jesus Christ be God, and God died for me, then there's no sacrifice too great for me to make for him. Do we serve him because we love him? There was a commitment of love. Then there's a covenant of love. This covenant of love in 1 Corinthians 5:12, I've already quoted that. He became sin for us that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And nothing can separate us from that love of God. Romans chapter 8 tells us. But look, what is the covenant of love? Look at the confession of this love. Turn to chapter 19 now in verses 2. Look at the confession. Is this love real? Did Jonathan really mean that whenever he said it? Let's look at it in the confession of the love for David in chapter 19, verses 2. But Saul said we're going to kill him. But Jonathan, Saul's son, delighted much in David, and Jonathan told David, saying, Saul, my father, seeks to kill thee. Now therefore, I pray thee, take thee to thyself until the morning, and abide in a secret place, and hide thyself. Here is a son who has been ordered by his father to kill David because he's Saul, I love him. No, he loves to be his pastor. He is high treason to go against the king. And he went against the king. So, look in verse 4. And it says, and Jonathan spake good of David and Saul and his father, and said unto him, let not the king sin against thy servant and against David, because he has not sinned against thee, and because his work here have been to thee was very good. See, now he's speaking out. Some of us won't speak out on the job and give a gospel tract. Or some of us wouldn't give a gospel. We would never, we might lose the prayer. Or, oh no, we might be misunderstood. I'm not talking about using your time. You give the man your 8 hours work. But I'm talking about the appropriate time. The gas station, the phone station, the grocery store. But here was a man who proved his love under adverse circumstances. And real love confesses love. It's stronger than a love of a woman. It's stronger than death. This love surrenders all. It delights in the presence of the one that he loves. It looks forward and has a longing to be with him. And he spake well of him. And he put his life in his hands, and he threw the Philistines, he said in verse 5. And thou, all of Israel rejoice. See, he is pleading. He is laying it on the line. What's motivating this kind of witness? Love. Love. I ask you how many of you love the Lord. Every hand is about in the building, isn't it? I talked to Melissa and Andy. I can't forget them.
They got in under the grandfather clause. Anybody else, any church that wants to get married, you've got 13 weeks to cancel. And if you don't want to get married, then go and pray for us. I want to marry you. But listen, we prepare for you theology and seminary. And you go to a job, you practice hours and prepare for hours and hours to learn a skill. But here is where the basic institution of our society is the family. And we tie them off and let them go. No more. No more. God convicted me, yes, and I told him that I'm letting you in under the grandfather clause. Right now I have a couple that's going through the 13-year test. I told Andy and Melissa this. I said, Andy, if ever the love that you have for Melissa, if ever it's that love to be in her presence or someone else's more than Melissa, your love is misplaced a year from today. If you would rather to be with someone else, and you would love to be with someone else far more than you love to be with your life, you have a misplaced love. You want to be in the presence of our blessed Lord because you love him. Early will I seek him. My soul delighteth in thee, O Lord. In 1 Samuel 19, look at verse 2. Then look at verse 4. Love not only confesses, but love communes. It communes with the one that is loved. It communes, and he's communing now. To say that I love Jonathan to a team is going to take, that's like waving a red flag in front of a bull. But this is real love. This is biblical love. And he, Jonathan, witnessed to Saul about David. What courage! And what kind of waving a red flag in front of the bull. But that time, but that time, Saul's heart was inflamed with jealousy and resentment, and it's almost sure death for anyone to brag on David. But real love witnesses under adverse circumstances. So he received that constraining love from Calvary. So you see the commencement of his love. You see the covenant of his love. You see the confession of his love. Let's call it and turn to chapter 20, verse 4. I don't hear the pages turning. If I don't hear pages turn, I preach all day. Look in chapter 20, verse 4. In chapter 20, verse 4, we see the confirming of the love. And David sware moreover and said, thy father certainly knoweth that I have found grace in thine eyes. And grace in thine eyes. And he saith, let not Jonathan marry, lest he be grieved. But truly as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, there is but a step between me and death. Then said Jonathan unto David, whatsoever my soul, whatsoever thy soul desire, I will even do it for thee. That's the love of a Christian for our great David. Now, did that covenant of love mean anything to Jonathan? He said David had become at that hour the greatest danger to the throne. And Jonathan saw, a new Saul was desperate, and Jonathan heard David's words. Oh, what remarkable words in chapter 20 and in verse 2. He said, that I know that there is but a step between me and God. Let me ask you a question. When you hear the words of your great David, are you truly moved to make that statement? What thy soul desires, I will even do it to thee. That's it. That's why I've been in the pastor for 40 years. Amen. It's my motive. If it's any other motive I need to get, I can't. It's the motive of service. So, that phrase, and Jonathan heard David's words, and his heart was moved. Real love always motivates to action. If you see your brother in need and set up your vows of compassion against him, how dwelleth the love of God in you?
Pastor, that's pretty strong stuff. No, it's just the Bible.
Jonathan heard David's words. They just but a step between me and David, and he responded, "Whatsoever thy soul desires, I will give it to thee."
You know something? I picked this up, and I don't know where I got it. And I'm not picking on the seniors. I love you. You're my seniors. But I got this from the city of Chesapeake. There's 150 volunteers at the Norfolk Zoo. One man has four areas that where he volunteers his time. He's retired, and he volunteers his time. Places for volunteers, if you want to volunteer your time, city, the library, the fire department, the hospital, the school, the cafeteria, the traffic, the patrol watch, halfway house, AA, drug rehabilitation, Red Cross, Rescue Squad, city, park, recreation, and the zoo, volunteers during the heat, to look after the animals, the heat waves, and so forth, the volunteers. Volunteers need it. You know something? You can go in the hospital if you want to volunteer. I had a lady with me that really just, Brother Jimmy, she was in the Sunday school class. And she couldn't mean for her either. I gave two lectures to our seminary on Great Baptist. And I asked her to type up some notes. Or I asked my secretary to type up some notes. And she said, "Well, we have volunteers. We have people who are servants here." She says, "Yeah, let me. I want to do something. Let me do something. Let me do something." And this dear lady has put one of those. Well, she gave her the information. And when I heard how she did, and I'm not going to tell you who it is because I don't want her to lose her reward. She stayed up all night long. And when the kids got up and ready to go to school, she said, "Mama, are you still, is it time? I got so carried away. I passed it. It's a this lecture for Pastor." Oh, I had no idea. Why? It's a good. Not for me. See, I'm talking about having a servant's time. I'm talking about doing it for the right motive. I'm talking about Jonathan. He loved him. Whatsoever, what does that mean? Anything, anywhere, anytime. It means not my will, but thy will. Now, whosoever is that grand word of salvation, but whatsoever is that grand word of service. Whatsoever. I don't know how many Brother Rue has out on soul in his visitation, but it has most close to 50 to show up. If you want to come out at 10 o'clock, right, Brother Rue? He's training day folks. And you people who teach Sunday school classes, who have a part in the Sunday school unit, you have an oath. It doesn't exempt any of us. If we're bought with the precious blood of Calvary, we serve him because we love him. Why did the little children come to Jesus? And he said, "Shepherd did not stand to be accepted to see you in heaven." Don't you like to hear little children say, "Jesus blessed me, this I know, because the Bible told me so. Red and yellow, black and white, they're all precious in Christ. Jesus blessed me, this I know, the Bible." Except you become as a little child, you shall in no wise enter into the kingdom of God.